Good evening, everybody. Pastor's graciously given me a little more time tonight. I'm covering a story that, not a story, a truth, that was, you know, you've read some Christian books and they moved you. God used them to change you, to make you more like His image. Let's open in a word of prayer, and I'm going to take you to the jungles of South America tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for an opportunity to review some of the pages of history and all the goodness and grace You've shown just some a few of Your people. Lord, You've shown through the giving of Your Son in this season, through, Lord, how much You want us all to come to You. Lord, down through the years, You've called those and empowered those and gave a special gift to those to go where others have not gone. As we study one group of such people, Lord, just may You have Your way this evening. May You receive all the glory and the honor of it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll start with Romans chapter 15, verses 20 and 21. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans is writing to those in the city of Rome. And the Apostle Paul wanted them to know how much God loved them and how much he desired to come and preach to him. And this section talks very specifically. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Actually, that's a quote out of Isaiah chapter 52, verse 15. If you go look in your King James, it's a little bit different. The Apostle Paul is quoting from the Septuagint here. But the Apostle Paul had a clear vision that God had not sent him to places that had already been evangelized, where the word had already been preached, but sent him to places that had not had a messenger yet. When you look down through history, we talked about Hudson Taylor, didn't we? Where did Hudson Taylor go, kids? He went to China. Actually, China Inland Mission, the coastal area had been evangelized, but he went inland, not all the way. We talked about Borden, didn't we? William Borden, right? His mission was to go where? To very central China, right to the place that's really not Buddhist, it's Muslim. And that's where he wanted to go. Well, tonight we're going to talk about some folks that got the vision to go someplace else. This is a song, We Rest on Thee, and the name of the book that most of us know this story from starts basically from here. When passing through the gates of pearly splendor, victors we rest with thee through endless days. Gates of Splendor. How many of you have had opportunity to read that book? Probably you folks read it in one of the first hard copy editions. Me, I actually read it in this version after 14 different printings. It only cost 95 cents back in the bad old days, okay? But the truth is, you can buy it in print today. But it's a story of five missionaries and their wives. And that's who we're going to cover tonight. Now, how many of you have ever been in a jungle before? Anybody? Where was your jungle at? Colombia? That's same. Yes? Oh, wow. Okay, we're going to get to a missionary from there in a little while here, but the place. If you've never been in a jungle, it's a different place. We're going to go to Ecuador, which is this little country hanging on the side of South America, and we're going to go up over the Andes and into what is called the Amazon Basin. And we're going to go specifically on this tributary of the Amazon called the Carari. We're going to go right in the middle of the jungle. This is the Rio Carari. It, in the rainy season, floods, 15 feet deep. In the dry season, you can walk across it, but it's up to your knees. Anybody going to want to go on a stroll in the jungle with me? Anybody? Now, Christmas, right? Everybody likes cocoa, right? Hot cocoa? Well, where does it start? The truth is, this area, most botanists believe, is actually the area where the coca plant actually was first. This is its natural habitat. And it was copied from here literally all over the world. But these pods ripen, and these little seed pods actually get, they have to be roasted like coffee beans, and then they get ground up and mixed with some sugar, and then everybody likes chocolate for Christmas, right? Anybody like fudge? Well, it starts in the jungle, okay? Not bad. This stuff, down boy, our computer, no. There we go. This is the stuff called kapok. Imagine a substance that grows in the jungle in a rainforest, but yet doesn't soak up any water. This used to be used in life vests until synthetic compounds were actually used. You could use it to make a pillow, but it's, you might call like cotton in the trees. But, interesting meal. Any of you young people know what that fish is? Yes? What? That's a piranha. How did you know that? It looks like a tilapia. As a matter of fact, they're closely related fish. The real difference is tilapia is a vegetarian. A piranha is an omnivore, all right? It eats both plants and other things. But how would you like to eat dinner that just might eat you? All right? But on the Carari, you just don't have piranha. You also have these things called caimans. Now, that's like a thin, longer alligator. And instead of having the two bumps on their nose, they only have one big bump. Really the only difference. But they like people just the same. But those aren't the real hazards in the jungle. These people, it just so happens one of the missionaries, when he was actually had finished going to Bible school, to university, he was going and learning about mission work, and a missionary from Ecuador spoke to him of the Auca people. Now, how many of you have ever studied about Native American Indians? Any? A little bit? If you do any studying at all, you'll find that there's the names people call them. Sometimes they call that name because of a habit they have or a food they eat. And then there's the names they call themselves. The Aucas were called this because of the other Native Americans, the other Amazonians lived around them. It means murderer, vicious, angry, warrior. These people didn't even like the other 600 Auca people. They lived in these small little people groups. And each of the longhouses in their little city or town would literally have war with everyone else. How would you like to live in the Tri-Cities and everybody in Richland hates everybody in Kennewick, everybody in Kennewick hates everybody in Pasco, and those folks in Benton City, you got to watch them. All right? Not a very nice place to be. But did Jesus die for these people? As a young child, they don't wear any clothes. In fact, most of them wear very little to no clothes at all. But did Jesus die for them? These young children, their toys are everything from pet monkeys, which may be tonight's dinner. They get to play with parrots. But they're missing the most important thing of all. Imagine a world where you've never brushed your teeth. You don't know what a police officer is. You've never heard the name Jesus. And you're so far from God. Remember the 90 and 9? These people lived the life of that lone lost sheep. How many of you would like to risk your life to take the gospel to them? Don't feel bad. The reality of it is this people group was known from the time of the Spaniards, and no one wanted to visit them. From the time of the Incas, they would not go in their territory. And in fact, I got to pronounce that correctly. The Quechua language, which is what the Incas spoke, they built the beautiful cities of Machu Picchu and others, and even their language still exists today. These people would not go into their territory because they wouldn't come back. It just so happens that this area in here has geology that was well recognized in the 1930s as being great oil potential. Shell Company built a city called Shell Mara. It means top of the trees because the trees are so high there. Built Shell Mara and actually built another area farther deeper in the jungle called Arajuno. And that only is accessible in this time through airplanes. The trouble was, as they went out in this area in here to try to get oil, what do you think happened to all their geologists and oil pipeline workers and everybody? They didn't come back. It was so bad that even the Shell Corporation decided it's more trouble than it's worth. Now, we're talking of an oil company here, won't even go there. Now, they abandoned Arjuno, and God had a plan for it, even though the Shell Company didn't. Mark 16:15. Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection. He appeared with them, and he said, "Go ye where? To all the world, and preach the gospel to who? Every." Pastor Caleb's message: I may not go to a jungle, but I do go to a line at Costco. Okay? I do. I may not go to the islands of the Bering Sea to speak to the Eskimos, but I do have a fence, and my neighbor lives on the other side. But sadly, with many Christians, that fence is just as, quote, hazardous or too difficult to overcome that I might as well assign you the task to go someplace else. We preach the gospel to every creature. That assignment went to the disciples. That went to every believer. But there's only a few of us that really buy that as our verse. I'm going to own this. I'm going to live this. Jim Elliot was such a man. Jim Elliot was a young man that grew up in Portland, went off to Bible school, and he knew God wanted him to be a missionary. More than that, he wanted God to give him the specific group to go to. Written in his diary when he was in college, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. At Christmas time, we like giving gifts, but sometimes we carry it to excess, don't we? There's been times in Maria's my life we went into debt to buy Christmas presents. Simple truth. But the reality of it is, the sands of our life are draining out every single day. Every single day. All of us have an expiration date. The question is, are we going to trade what we can't keep to gain which we cannot lose? This person is Jim Elliot. Have you ever met a person that you just wanted to listen to and was obviously God-gifted as a leader? More than that, he had the ability to bring other people in to follow his vision. That's a gift. It just so happens Jim Elliot had a friend, Peter Fleming, and they actually went to Ecuador unmarried. Not a bad deal. Got lots of work to do. It just so happens. Now, how many of you would like to have your wedding in a jungle without family or there or anything there? These young ladies went to the jungle to marry the man they felt God led them to follow. First was Elizabeth Elliot, and then Olive Fleming. They were willing to follow their husbands. They were called, they felt called of God to serve the unlovely, to take the gospel and change the world of these people. Now, it just so happens, at Wheaton College, Ed McCauley was a very, very close friend Jim Elliot. And originally, he was going to be the person to go down with Jim Elliot at first, but he fell in love and actually started a family. It just so happens when he finished college, he was going to go to law school and become a lawyer. But God touched his heart, and he went to Biola. At the time, it was Los Angeles School of the Bible, and they had a missionary medicine course. In 1 year, not only do you turn into an EMT, you're able to do obstetrics, births, dentistry, all the things. You might call it a one-year crash course to take medicine to places that have none. And so he graduated from that. They actually had two children at the time. And she was pregnant with a third. And there's the mission team when they finally made it to Injiro. The Flemings, the McCauleys, and the Elliots. But I'm going to ask you a question. If you're going to reach the unreachable, what other skills might you need? You have a passion to give out the word. Oh, by the way, the Aka don't have a language. Well, they have a language, but it's never written down. They don't know how to read or write. It's not similar to any other language on the planet. It's one of a kind. What would you need? They live in the jungle. Come on, kids. What? A few survival skills. Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Do you want to go marching through the jungle, maybe? Or how would you like to fly over it? Fly over it. Yeah, maybe. That's a plan. So I might need a pilot, right? Jungle skills? I might need to know an experienced missionary that had been around a family group similar to these for about 3 years. And that's what God provided. Nate Saint. Nate Saint actually grew up his wife grew up in Idaho. He grew up in Wisconsin. But as you see, he's in a uniform. In World War II, he was in the Army Air Corps. And he was about ready to go to Europe when the war ended. So the U.S. military trained him to be a pilot and an airplane mechanic, and he never even had to fight a day. It just so happens that a friend of his had a missionary friend in Mexico that their plane broke down, and they invited him to come down. And he fixed that plane, and voila, what does he become? God calls him to the mission field. It just so happens he also fell in love with Marge Saint. And it just so happened she was in nursing school, and they both basically dropped everything and joined Mission Aviation Fellowship in 1948. And that's his plane. Where do you think they ended up? At Shalmira. And they literally flew to the missionaries and other people in this same area. It just so happens, what do you think that outside skin of that plane is made out of? It has more in common with a World War I plane. It's a varnished canvas material. It isn't even metal. And he's going to fly over the jungle where he may not know where to land? Yep. It just so happens she was very supportive. They were at Shalmira. This is Nate's view of the world. And people who do not know the Lord ask, why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries? They forget that they too are expending their lives. And when the bubble is burst, they will have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years that they have wasted. It just so happens that Jim Elliot also said, when it comes for your day to die, you want, there's only one thing left for you to do, and that's to die. Not have your life roll over in your head, all the what-ifs, could-ifs, maybe-haves. Live like God wants you to live now. Also, God was preparing, during the war, another individual, Roger Yoderian. By the way, he was a paratrooper and actually fought in the Battle of the Bulge and paratrooped into Germany to capture the bridges over the Ruhr Valley, the Ruhr River. As soon as he got back, he got married to Barbara, and they headed off under the Gospel Mission Union in 1950. They headed down to Ecuador. They actually ministered to a similar people group as the Aka down here in Macuma, down here. They had been there for 2 years, and the truth is, the Word of God wasn't touching the people. So they were open to something else. Through Nate Saint, the pilot, he also had heard of Jim Elliot and his thoughts on maybe reaching the Aku. The Achuar are the people that they'd ministered to, and they operate blowguns and paint themselves the same way. They just don't kill everybody that comes into their tribal area. Now, how many of you like problems? Any of you just go searching for them? Anybody? Well, Hudson Taylor was one of his favorite people. Our difficulties are only platforms for the manifestation of his grace, power, and love. When was the last time you had a big problem, everything from a busted hot water tank to a flat tire in the middle of nowhere, your heart turned to something like that versus... Well, Operation Aka was planned, and in September 1955, they started flying around the jungle looking for some village that they could focus on. They found several clearings, but then they found this one next to a tributary that they chose as going to be the place they were looking for. These are actual photographs that they took as they flew the plane by the place. Now, how do you speak the unspoken language or the unknown language? How do you think you might find a way? Does God want these people to be reached? There's got to be a way. What might you do to find the way? If you trust God to know that there's a way, all I have to do is pray, surrender, and God will provide the way. Brother? Well, yeah, but that isn't going to tell them what you mean. Ah, that might be a start. But it just so happens the first things they did is they had a megaphone, and they would stick it out the window, and they learned a few phrases from a lady that had been under threat of death of her family. She ran off, all right, to live with the Quechuas. And she taught them several phrases. Those phrases were used to give them their first introductions. They would just yell out of the plane. And then they called the place Terminal City. They're on the Karari River, all right? And just as Brother Panther described, actually Nate Saint figured this out. He's the first pilot in history. They would put a big bucket pan on a rope, and he would circle the plane, keeping that thing in the same place as it was moving around. And they would drop down goodies for them. And then an interesting thing happened. Over the next couple months, things started coming back in the pot. Everything from colored cloth to feather headdresses to combs. Then they had to figure out, well, now that we've built a relationship with these people over at least 3 months, they seem to be friendly, they like the gifts, they know who we are, they know what the plane is. Let's go talk to them. Well, how do you land a plane in the jungle? You got to find a place. Well, it just so happens they looked along the river and they found a place about 3 to 4 miles away from Terminal City, the village, and they found it a place where they could land. Now, how many of you want to ride in that plane coming down into the jungle? You know, we complain about the 737 MAX and all of our modern aircraft. These jungle pilots literally flew virtually instrumentless. Okay? And so Nate Saint lands his plane. On January 6th, he takes Ed McCauley, Pete Fleming, and Jim Elliott, and they set up a little campsite there in what they call Palm Beach. And over the next couple days, other people come and visit. In fact, two ladies and this gentleman here, all right? And he had the courage to go up in the plane. I wouldn't have courage to go up in the plane, taking off from a sandbar. But he went up, and that's Nate Saint talking to him. And they had a model that they gave to him of that plane. Now, everything was planned to be good. It just so happens you have lots of pictures. Notice they're in color. The reality of it is during World War II, color film was really developed. It was relatively inexpensive. And so some of the pictures you see are in color, some in black and white. But here they are at Palm Beach. Now, it just so happens that Marge Saint was the radio woman back at Shell Mara. And on January 8th, 1956, about 12:30, she gets a message from her husband. He's flying into Palm Beach, and he noticed that a number of men are coming from the village towards Palm Beach. Be great. I'll call you back at 4. This is going to be a great day. It didn't quite turn out that way. As the clock ticks towards 4 o'clock, and then 4:30, 5, 6, 7, she gets concerned. She starts making other radio messages to say there's a problem out there. It just so happens, Johnny Keenan was another bush pilot with Mission Aviation Fellowship, and he got into the air first thing that morning and actually flew over Palm Beach, and the plane, all the cloth and material had been torn off the plane. He could see one of the bodies, but they didn't know who. That word started to get out all over the world. The U.S. military was involved. The Ecuadorian military was involved. The missionaries that knew the bush and the jungle joined. And it took them several days to actually get to Palm Beach on the ground. And that's when they discovered that all five men had given their life trying to take the gospel to a people that most of us would just let pass. Too many problems. Too difficult. In fact, they found Roger's body, Jim's, Nate's, and Pete's downriver. They brought them back to Palm Beach, and that's where they're buried today. Ed McCulley was actually found farther downstream, and he was identified by the natives that had taken his wristwatch and his wedding band off. But his body was never found. Now, this word got back to the ladies. It just so happens, by that time, Life magazine had sent a note, actually a reporter, waiting for good news, but it was bad. And it just so happens that January edition of Life, they were the primary article. Literally all over the world, people heard the story. Go ye and preach the gospel. The lady sitting around the table being informed of their husband's demise. The whole story at what led them to Ecuador, what led them to the Aku. Some pictures that they had taken. It just so happens, if you get the book, you'll see some photographs. And this is the group that actually went in well-armed to find the gentleman. Olive had no children. She had lost everything. They all had lost so much. This is a picture of Elizabeth Elliott as they're driving away in the military vehicle and the people taking in a look. How many of you would consider the sacrifice too great? Well, this story wouldn't be complete unless I finished it. Unless I finished it. The truth was, it wasn't finished. This is a picture a few years later. Barbara, Olive, Elizabeth, Marge. These three children are hers. You'll learn about him a little later and her as well. It just so happened that Rachel Saint joined Elizabeth Elliott, and they came back 2 years later to the same area to learn as best they could the language. Without knowing the language and establishing an alphabet, you can't make a biblical translation, can you? How much nuts and bolts and heavy work has to be done just so you can get the Word of God into these people's hands? There, a version of the New Testament wasn't completed until 1992. It just so happens they worked there for 2 years. Rachel Saint was an interesting lady, Nate Saint's sister. She was a linguist with a real missionary's heart. She literally helped these people realize they have rights. And when people were trying to force them off their land, she helped negotiate a reservation. That may sound bad, but the reality, it was that or just be completely destroyed as a people group. She helped that. She taught the people that they should have respect for themselves and respect for others. It just so happened she also made many of the clans live together. By the way, eventually, because of her relationship with the people, some archaeologists believed that it was wrong to allow these people to understand what the modern world was. They should be left to themselves in the jungle somewhere, living in that vicious lifestyle. Rachel had a different perspective. The people who had sent her there as a linguist stopped her funding, and she just decided to stay. And she literally is buried right next to her brother on Palm Beach. Elizabeth Elliot and her. How many of you have ever read about the relationship between Paul and Barnabas? How did that end? It actually ended with two mission teams going out, is the way it ended. Their relationship was similar to Paul and Barnabas. So Elizabeth Elliot came back to the United States. She wrote the book Through Gates of Splendor, obviously, but also she wrote some 30 other books. These are just some examples. Elizabeth Elliot also was a very sought-after speaker about her life story. She also had a radio program from 1988 to 2001 called Gateway to Joy. Any of you ladies listen to her program? Anybody? It's still on the radio. It's in syndication, basically. Notice most of her pictures, she doesn't smile. Elizabeth Elliot was born with a real big space between her teeth. Here's a quote from her. "Today is mine. Tomorrow is none of my business. If I peer anxiously into the fog of the future, I will strain my spiritual eyes so that I will not see clearly what is required of me now." Most people fail in the today, planning for a future that may never be. A grandmother's special calling, I'm actually doing this for Mrs. Warner, a grandmother's special calling to pray and to be a fellow worker in the battle in which her children and her grandchildren are engaged. How many grandparents disengage from the grandchildren's lives? Literally, disengage. It just so happens that I lost my grandfather, my mom's dad at age 9, and my other grandfather never smiled. My whole growing up, I never saw him smile. I had to look at a couple pictures that after my mom passed away that I actually saw him smile. He had no little interest in our lives. But God calls on grandparents to be deeply engaged. It just so happens, here's this young lady that went to the jungle in June 15, 2015. She passed into the presence of her Savior. She had buried two husbands. She had traveled the world. She wrote over 30 books. But would she have been the same person if God hadn't appointed her this trial? Next time when something crashes into your life, the first question you want to ask yourself is, God, how are you going to use this to form me more into your image? It just so happens that a little boy down here, his name is Steve Saint. God wasn't finished with one generation, there was another. It just so happens he regularly went back with his aunt to the village. One of the first people to get converted was the very man that had killed his father. And since the boy did not have a dad, he took over as his father when he was there. Menachiah, a relationship that could only exist because Christ is in the life. He eventually became a missionary, kind of in a backwards way. He actually went to school to become a businessman. He became very affluent. But the tribe, the Akka, actually called him and asked him to come and help them with the finances of the tribe on the reservation. Got those all working for him. Eventually, they had to walk on their own, so he came back. But the Beyond Gates of Splendor was a movie about it, and he actually wrote End of the Spear, which is all about the relationship that he had with Minkiah. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Have you ever been speechless? So taken back by a gift or a praise or a raise or a bonus that you're speechless. We have the unspeakable gift. Those of us that are believers. If you had the ability to give everybody on the planet a COVID vaccine that wouldn't cause allergic reactions, what would you do? Or a cure for cancer? What if you kept it to yourself? We have something far more than that. We just don't change that little short period of time we were alive. We change something else, all of eternity. The unspeakable gift. These men gave their lives to reach, some would say, the unreachable. But they were willing. There's a phrase. A person's vision must exceed their grasp. If you only go for the things that you can see and get a hold of, your vision's not far enough. Jim Elliot's vision brought all these men together. Now, I wanted to end with this. This is a quote from Elizabeth Elliot. We're not adrift in chaos. We're held in the everlasting arms. Each of us here tonight have seen the craziest year in history. Just like tonight, instead of having a beautiful Christmas play and music and the kids singing and photographs being taken, you get to listen to me. A real sign for 2020. But the point is, we are not adrift in a sea of chaos. Our God is doing a work even in the craziness to which we live. Be thankful this Christmas. Be thankful that you had the opportunity to live through this year. Young people, you'll be able to tell your grandkids in a rocking chair someday, I remember the COVID pandemic. And that's true. But what are you going to take out of this year? What are you going to learn? These people stood on a sandy beach offering the truth and had to give their lives because of the offer. What are you willing to give back to the one who gave us that unspeakable gift? Ponder that. Ponder that at Christmas. Ponder that year long. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your willingness to give your Son and your willingness to have him walk to Calvary's Hill. Lord, we thank you for those that had the courage to share the gospel with us. Lord, give us the unction. Give us the Spirit-led words to show your Son as he truly is. May we care about our neighbors. May we care about our missionaries some of them are in these hazards even as we speak. Watch over them. Lord, we ask for all that we would be safe through this Christmas celebration and that you ultimately would receive the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody. You're dismissed.